The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Tom Fairbanks, Tom engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to Buckmaster. It's Thursday, December the 5th, 2019. We're broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio in 1030 Tucson's voice for Trusted News Talk. Let's get the show rolling right away and go on the live line now. Will Hummel has been an Arizona public health leader for more than 30 years, including a stint as the director of the Arizona Department of Health Services. Currently, he is the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association based in Phoenix. Will, how are you?
Good morning, or actually good afternoon. Thanks.
Tell me a little bit about this group you are now heading up, the Arizona Public Health Association.
It's actually one of the oldest nonprofits in the state. It was formed in 1928 to do public health advocacy, and a lot of the work is really down at the state legislature and has been for the last 90 years. You know, the early years of the Public Health Association were urging the legislature to pass laws requiring pasteurization of milk and that kind of stuff. These days, we're pressing for, you know, more contemporary public health issues, but our core mission is really public health policy advancement.
Do you have a number one issue for this 2020 legislature, Will?
I think we have about four primary issues that we're going to work hardest on. Number one is to define electronic cigarettes as a tobacco product so that it would be covered under the Smoke-Free Arizona Act. When the Smoke-Free Arizona Act passed, electronic cigarettes didn't exist. And so that's why you see in bars, restaurants, workplaces, et cetera, people are vaping. What we'd like to do is to classify electronic cigarettes as a tobacco product, and then it would be covered under that voter-approved law. Another thing we're continuing to work on is to get preventative oral health coverage for pregnant women enrolled in the Medicaid program or access. Currently, they don't have a preventive dental benefit, and there is good evidence that good oral health among pregnant women results in fewer low birth weight babies and preterm births. So it's another priority. Another thing that we're working on is to decriminalize syringe service programs, or otherwise known as needle exchange. We're not looking for state dollars for needle exchange, but we'd like to take it off the list of felonies. So right now, if you run a needle exchange program, let's say you're a nonprofit and you want to run a needle exchange for injection drug users and connect them with treatment, that's actually considered a class six felony. And so obviously having a chilling effect on creating syringe service programs. So those are three of the things. We have about 10 things, so I don't want to use the whole
A lot of us, Will, brought home more than a full stomach after Thanksgiving, myself included. A little bit of a cold, that's why I'm sounding a little bit raspy. But a cold is one thing and the flu is another, and the flu cases are really up this year in certain age limits, aren't they?
Yeah. So we're seeing a real early rise in influenza B. There's two strains of influenza A and B. Normally, influenza B is a late season influenza that you see circulating in, say, April or even May. This year, it's ramping up here in December. And the groups that it's hitting the hardest are kids from 5 to 18 years old and also young adults. So it's unusual to see. It's actually common to see influenza A ramping up this time of year. It's just unusual to see B. We don't see much A, by the way. But the good news is that the circulating strains across the U.S. and in Arizona are all covered under the vaccine. In other words, it's a good match. The vaccines that you see in Walgreens and CVS and your doctor's offices and the community health centers, et cetera, all those vaccines are a perfect match for what's circulating in the U.S. and in Arizona. So that's the take-home message is if you haven't gotten your vaccine yet, it's overdue.
You know, it's interesting that the efforts to move the needle, if you will, on the flu shot on the rates of people getting flu shots. They're pretty much stuck in the same levels of, say, 10 years ago when you were heading up the Department of Arizona, the Arizona Health Department. It's almost like our country is divided like we are politically also with flu shots. Some people just won't get them. They hear this old wives' tale, if you will, that if you get a flu shot, you're going to get the flu.
Yeah, which is nonsense, of course.
Of course.
If you get a flu shot, you're much less likely to get the flu, and there's no, it doesn't cause, it might cause a sore arm. You know, everyone concedes that, but the influenza vaccine prevents influenza. It doesn't cause it. But to be honest, I think a lot of people say that and don't believe it and use it as an excuse because they have a phobia against the needle. I think there are people like that. Maybe some people actually believe that there's a relationship that the influenza vaccine causes influenza, but it doesn't. There's tons of evidence of that. Going back to what you said at the beginning, we have seen an increase in the percentage of kids that are getting vaccinated. It's a higher percentage now than it was 10 years ago. So we're making some inroads there. And one of the reasons I think that's happening is because over the last several years, we've run bills to allow pharmacists to vaccinate. And so one of the things you see with influenza vaccine is people will get vaccinated if it's super convenient. And expanding the scope of practice of pharmacists to include giving influenza vaccine made a big difference in terms of making it more convenient for people to get the influenza vaccine.
Was that a big deal to change that, to have the pharmacist be able to give the shot?
It was really about a 2-year lift. It's where down the legislature for the first year educating folks, and then the second year making it happen. You know, with these, when you're doing lobbying like this, one of the things that you have to do is your homework in the background to make sure that the other licensed professionals don't oppose an initiative like this in terms of the scope of practice, because there are times when people, licensed professionals, don't want a scope of practice to change because they're afraid somebody's going to take their cheese. In other words, they're going to take some of the work that they've got. We got past that this year, or actually a few years ago, but it's a good practice, and that's why you see the signs out in front of the drugstores and pharmacies and so forth that say, get your vaccines here. It's because we added that scope of practice so that it no longer had to just be an RN or a nurse practitioner or a physician, but it can actually be a pharmacist.
Hey, Will, I'm Tom. This is Bill's producer. I have a question about people who think that they are still protected if some of the strains that they had in the previous flu shot are in the present or current flu shot. They think they're still protected from the shot they had last year. How long does the shot, how long is it effective?
So the influenza vaccine is effective for it's most effective starting about a month after you get the vaccine, and then it extends for about a full 6 months. Now, there is some element of truth to what you're saying in terms of, you know, if you've got the vaccine last year, is there some protection this year? There's a little bit, but what really the benefit is that if you got the vaccine last year and then you get the same vaccine or a similar vaccine this year, your immunity ramps up more quickly. And so you get a quicker benefit and a robust antibody benefit. And here's the thing. When you get exposed to influenza, the incubation period is only could be 24, 36, at the most 72 hours. And that's not enough time for your immune system to ramp up a whole bunch of antibodies in time. And that's why we want to get folks immunized each season so that their antibody titer is up there as soon as they're exposed, and then those antibodies can attack the virus immediately, and then you never get sick at all. As opposed to if you got the flu shot last year and then you're exposed this year, you may get a milder case, but you're still susceptible because those antibodies aren't circulating in your blood. Does that make sense?
How long after you get your shot are you effectively protected?
It depends on the person. So for seniors, it takes longer. For younger kids, where we're seeing the cases coming in now, you know, adolescents and so forth, that the ramp-up period is probably 2 to 3 weeks.
All right. We'll continue with Will Hummel, who is the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association. But first, let's talk a little bit about Mona's Danish Bakery, Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise. Put in your order right now for Christmas. They're taking your orders for pies and rolls. Mona's Danish Bakery, 579-1959. And, of course, they are the home of the Danish Kringle. The Danish Kringle comes in traditional custard, cherry, strawberry, blueberry, lemon, apricot, and pecan. Check it out, monasdanishbakery.com. Additional support comes from Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, only a three-hour drive from Tucson. Find out more at southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities. We'll be right back in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Take 5 minutes to give us your input on regional transportation matters. The Regional Transportation Authority's 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee prepared draft guiding principles to consider as they prepare to develop the next RTA plan. The survey is available between mid-November and mid-December. To take the survey or to sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort. All on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
Back with you on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Poinsettias, 25,000 of them over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out all of your holiday decorating needs on Green Things, the 13-acre site, greenthingsaz.com. And, of course, they also have Zocalo Village, all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. With me on the live line is Will Hummel. Will is the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association. Will, you were the head of the Arizona Department of Health at the time that the medical marijuana initiative passed. Has it turned out to be a lot more than you expected?
Oh, way more. When we first implemented that law, you know, when I was doing the calculations, sort of estimating how many patients we'd have in the medical marijuana program, I thought we'd have maybe 30,000 patients. And that was just an estimate using the numbers that were out of Colorado at the time and the fact that we tried to be as rigorous as we could, given the statutory language that we had in terms of, you know, how what the requirements were for people to get a medical marijuana card. But as it turns out, I think there's more than 200,000 patients. So the patient load has exceeded way more, has exceeded my expectations for sure.
The medical marijuana sales are up 41% in Arizona in 2018. So what's next? The retail marijuana initiative. Have you taken a stand yet on that?
No, I haven't taken a public position. And actually, I'm not even sure myself privately what I think of it. In thinking through the public health impacts of the retail marijuana initiative, there's really two main components in my mind. Number one, which is the pieces of the initiative that are what I would call criminal justice reform provisions, are really good for public health. So right now it's a class six felony for someone to get if they get arrested and convicted of even one joint in Arizona, that's a class six felony, which is more stringent than there's only three other states like that, and that includes Puerto Rico. So there's a lot of people being convicted of possession of small amounts of marijuana and getting class six felony convictions, which, and the reason that's a public health thing is not the amount of jail time they spend, which might not be any, but the fact that they then have a felony on their record, which impairs their ability to get a worthwhile or a working wage at a job. And the number one determinant of a family's health status is how much money can you make? So many stressors that come onto families because they can't earn a living. Low incomes cause a whole host of bad health outcomes. And so if you're charging people and convicting them with felonies for possession of small amounts of marijuana, what in effect you're doing is impairing that person's ability to make a living, maybe for the rest of their life. And so the criminal justice reform pieces of the marijuana initiative, I think, are a big public health bonus. Now, if you weigh that against the other side of the coin, which is it, obviously, if you're going to have retail stores, and, you know, if it passes, then you would no longer need a medical marijuana card to buy marijuana. You just need a regular driver's license and be 21 years old. That's going to increase access to young people. And there is good evidence that smoking marijuana before the brain is fully developed has impairs some cognitive functions for the medium term and maybe even the long term. So it's important to limit access to marijuana for people that are under 24. But we've accepted 21 as the standard for alcohol, so it's 21 in the initiative. So that's the other side of the public health coin, is that when you open retail stores, you're going to have increased access to teens and young adults to marijuana, even though they can't go in the store and buy it. There's straw buying that's pretty easy once you have retail stores. And so that's the way I look at the issue and its two core areas. One is the positive benefits of criminal justice reform with respect to marijuana. The other side of it is increasing access to younger adults because there's retail stores that would no longer require medical marijuana cards. So I haven't decided myself which of those two public health things outweigh each other. I'm leaning towards supporting the initiative because of the criminal justice reform pieces, although I haven't made up my mind.
How do the e-cigarette controversy, Will Hummel, how does that figure into all of this?
Well, so if you remember back a couple of months ago, and it's still happening, by the way, there's a lot of people entering emergency departments with severe lung damage because of vaping. At the beginning of that epidemic, when the first cases started being noticed, say, 2 months ago, nobody really knew what it was except that it was related to vaping. There's now good evidence that the severe lung damage that we're seeing across the country and in Arizona is related to black market electronic cigarettes with THC or marijuana derivatives in it. And it's specifically because the bootleg products contain something called vitamin E acetate. Not all of them, but some of them contain this vitamin E acetate, which is very damaging to the lungs, and it causes irreversible lung damage, by the way. And so there's young people that are waiting for lung transplants, you know, and they're 23 years old. So it's kind of unheard of. So I think that's what you're talking about, is that vaping epidemic. But another thing that we're seeing, and I mentioned it at the top of the hour, is that we have an increasing number of young people who are addicted to very large amounts of nicotine that they're getting from electronic cigarettes. More nicotine, by the way, than you actually get from smoking. And so there's this generation of folks that are coming out of high school hardwired to very high levels of nicotine. And so the challenge that we face as a public health system is, what are the interventions that we can put together to try to discourage electronic cigarette use, especially at high doses, for young people? I've always seen electronic cigarettes as a public health benefit for active tobacco smokers, because it's less harmful than actually smoking cigarettes. But what we're seeing now is this generation of young people who are addicted to high levels of nicotine. And one of the things about nicotine is that when you become addicted to nicotine before the age of 23, your brain is essentially hardwired to that nicotine. And so people who start smoking and or electronic cigarette using before 23, let's say they're 40 and they decide to quit, it's much, much harder for a person who started smoking or vaping before they were 23 to quit in the end. If you start smoking or vaping when you're 25, you want to quit when you're 40, it's actually relatively easy.
Steve has called us at 790-2040. Steve has a question for Will Hummel, Executive Director of the Arizona Public Health Association. Go ahead, Steve.
Yes, sir. I enjoy the benefits of unpasteurized raw goat's milk, but the restrictions and stuff like that for the people that are producing it, they're so tight, they're so hard. Is there any hope that they could ever relax those laws and stuff like that? Because I know the risk. The people that I buy it from, you know, they test their goats yearly for TB, for E. coli, stuff like that. I know there's safe handling practices and stuff like that. But because they're not certified by the state, technically it's illegal for them to sell the goat's milk.
Yeah, it's a good question. I recall, and I'm probably wrong about this, but I recall a bill in the legislature about 10 years ago that I thought passed and was signed by, I think, Governor Brewer at the beginning, that would have allowed the sale of unpasteurized milk as long as there was warning labels, but I think there were restrictions for kids.
Correct. What they did is on the warning labels, yeah, you had to put it, but you also had to add pink dye to the milk so that it was listed as not for human consumption.
Wow.
Okay. I didn't realize that. You know, my attitude is with public health, that's regulated by the Arizona Department of Agriculture, by the way. Here's the thing. When I look at unpasteurized milk, the way I look at it is, if you're an adult over 18 and you decide that that's what you want to do and you're fully informed that it's unpasteurized milk and what the consequences could be, to me, that's okay as long as there's informed consent. What concerns me more is when minors have the access to unpasteurized products, and they may not fully understand, even if there is this full disclosure that it's unpasteurized, what that actually means. But I would not oppose, or my organization wouldn't oppose a bill that would make it easier for people to buy unpasteurized products, as long as there were safeguards to ensure that kids, would have limited, or that at least there'd be some safeguard for kids. And also that for anybody, there's full disclosure about what the potential health impacts could be if a farmer managed his his milk poorly. And I'm, you know, there's good ones and bad ones, mostly good. But that's the unfortunate thing about laws is sometimes you pass laws for the 3% of people that do it wrong, and everyone has to suffer the consequences.
Okay, good question from Steve. Will Hummel, thank you very much. We'll catch up with you down the road. Hope you have a great holiday season. Where can people find out more about the Arizona Public Health Association, Will?
Yeah, you can visit us at www.azpha.org. That's the Arizona Public Health Association. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Will Hummel with us. We'll take our break be back with Rosie Koberlein of Long Companies right after the break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
It's time for the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor, Inc., a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor, Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation,
resulting in an economic impact of $24.8 billion, with 168 company locates and expansions, supporting nearly 50,000 jobs.
And joining us on the live line, Rosie Koberlein. Rosie is the CEO of Long Companies. Rosie, how are you?
I'm very good, Bill. Nice to talk with you.
Thank you very much. Long has a great history here in Tucson, going back to 1926. What does the Long Realty of 2019 look like, Rosie?
Well, we are very much a very significantly different company from 1926. First of all, most folks may not realize here in Tucson and Pima County that we are very much a statewide real estate company. We have offices as far north as Flagstaff and Sedona, and then we have a grouping of companies in Maricopa County surrounding the Phoenix marketplace. We have about 400 agents in that vicinity, and then we go all the way south to the border. But our main focus is Tucson and Pima County, where we do a very good business here. And one of the main differences from 1926 is that we're now what would be considered a full-service brokerage company in terms of a consumer can come to Long Companies. They can purchase a home. We can put them into a loan with Long Mortgage. We can do the title search on their property with Long Title. We can also have home insurance with our Long Insurance, and then also placing home warranties. And that's today's consumer wants to have a more transparent, easier transaction, and that's one of the reasons why we now are Long Companies. We have grown significantly, and we've survived the recession of 2006 through 2011, and we're here to serve the community.
I did not realize your footprint was so big in Arizona, Rosie. And you also have a relationship now with Berkshire Hathaway. What's that about?
Well, we are owned by Home Services of America, which is owned by Berkshire Hathaway. So we roll up to Mr. Buffett, and we're very proud of that. Having that affiliation with Home Services of America, they are the number one real estate holding company in the country. So we are now involved with the biggest organization in across the United States, where we're able to help facilitate real estate transactions with our sister companies and with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services franchise companies across the country, both people coming into Pima County or all of Arizona, or people who are leaving this area. We can facilitate that transaction.
How has this year been for Tucson real estate, Rosie Koberlein?
Well, you know, in many respects, we replicated 2018. There's been just a slight improvement in terms of the number of units sold so far year to date in 2019. We have had an appreciation rate of about 5 to 6%, which is really nice, healthy appreciation. What happened is that 2018 was a very, very robust year, and we were going like crazy selling real estate. And then it was a very interesting phenomenon across the entire country, right around Labor Day. All real estate markets across the country just slowed down, and just slowed down economically. I think there was a dip in consumer confidence, a dip in just people's confidence in the world that really didn't come back until summer of 2019. But we have made up that little shortfall, and we've had a very, very, very strong year.
How does 2020 look, Rosie?
You know what? I'm pretty solid in a positive way looking for 2020. We still have very low interest rates. If you are a family who are you're thinking about selling your home, This is absolutely a fabulous time to sell your home because we have very much a very shortage of inventory. We really only have right around 2 months' worth of inventory available in the Tucson marketplace, which is considered very, very low and is considered very much a seller's market. My one concern about 2020 is that the closer we get to the craziness of the election year, that does kind of rattle sometimes consumer confidence, but we have lots of really good opportunities for people to avail themselves here in Tucson and Pima County and across all of Arizona.
Speaking with Rosie Coberline, CEO of Long Companies, based here in Tucson. Rosie's a big supporter of many organizations, including Sun Corridor, Inc. Talk a little bit about that relationship, please.
Well, you know what? It's a fabulous relationship that we have with Sun Corridor, and I'm so enormously appreciative of what they do to reach out across the nation and across the world to really highlight Tucson and Pima County and the Sun Corridor, because our business, the real estate business, is totally dependent upon jobs and the economic sustainability and viability of our community. So bringing industries into Pima County and the Sun Corridor area is absolutely critical to the real estate industry, and I totally enjoy working with the staff over at Sun Corridor when they have the opportunity of bringing a company in and some of their executives, and we are very, very responsive and responsible and respect their positions of confidentiality to be able to show people in a quiet way all the assets of the different sizes and the different communities of our area. So we have a very, very good working relationship.
You have seen so many changes in the real estate business in your long career. How about social media? Has that been a game changer, and how so?
Yes, you know what? It has been a game changer in terms of being able to promote our basic information about our real estate community, but also our listings, and people are 90% of all buyers and sellers begin their search on the internet, whether that be in our website, which is longrealty.com, or on other websites, but also social media is very much a part of that whole situation. Interesting enough, though, even though with the internet, the usage of a realtor has actually increased by 5 percentage points over the last 6 years.
Really?
By consumers, yes. Mm-hmm. Because they know that the home is one thing, but the dynamics of the community and right. The neighborhood and the appreciation of that home as it relates to other, it's the knowledgeable realtor that has that information. And I'll let you tell you that we've had a little bit of a spike in transactions that we represented a buyer, we wrote a contract, it went into escrow very quickly, and then all of a sudden we find out that it's falling out of escrow. And the reason being is that consumers, buyers saw the home on the internet, got very, very excited, wrote a contract without seeing the home, flew into Tucson, they go to do their inspections and see the home, and they're like, oh my gosh, this isn't anything like I thought it was on the internet. So we're dealing with that as a bump in the industry, but you get very excited by seeing some of those photos and the videos that are on the internet.
Rosie Coberline, CEO of Long Companies. Thank you, Rosie. Appreciate it very much.
It's my pleasure, Bill. Anytime.
Visit suncorridorinc.com for more information. This has been the Buckmaster Show CEO interview series in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
A Citizens Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is preparing to develop the next RTA plan. That's why members want your input on a survey of draft guiding principles they prepared. The principles will help guide them as they develop the next 20-year plan, which would be funded by a voter-required extension of the RTA's half-cent excise or sales tax. To take the survey or sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. We're joined by attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group, offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing. Don, how are you?
I'm doing good, Bill. I'm sorry to hear that you're not.
Well, I think it's one of those cases where it sounds a lot worse than it actually is. I mean, if I was not working on the radio and I was just going about my everyday life, people would never know I even had a cold.
So yes, but that's something you can't very well hide.
No. But we've got lots to talk about. Lawmakers, well, there's this coalition suit, Don Luce, saying that lawmakers are violating the Arizona Open Meetings Law. What's that all about?
All right. So this lawsuit was filed yesterday. It was filed by people who claim that the Arizona legislators attending the annual conference of the American Legislative Exchange Council are violating Arizona's Open Meetings Law. So you might say, well, how could legislators attending a conference be in violation of an open meetings law when they're not in the legislature doing their legislative duties? The plaintiffs in this case contend that because there's a quorum of at least five legislative committees attending the annual conference, that whatever they talk about has to be open to the public. And so they've filed suit And they have named, I find this interesting, they have named the Arizona legislature as a defendant.
Really?
In the lawsuit, yes. Oh, so the Arizona legislature is being sued for violating the Arizona open meetings law. The people who are bringing this suit want to know exactly what was discussed at the conference, and they want copies of any documents that were exchanged at the conference, because they contend that under the open meetings law, they're entitled to that information. Now, the thing about this bill is it sounds at first blush, well, maybe it sounds at first blush like it's kind of a stretch of the intent of the open meetings law. But if you think about it, and I went online to find out more about the American Legislative Exchange Council. This is a group, and I'll just read very briefly what they have online. They say it's a forum for stakeholders to exchange ideas and develop real state-based solutions to encourage growth, preserve economic security, and protect hardworking taxpayers. Mm. ALEC, as the acronym the group is known by, ALEC members understand the importance of hearing from all sides of an issue and value public-private partnership and policy discussions. Well, as soon as I read that, I thought, you know, if the group itself is advertising that it is a forum for legislators to exchange ideas and understand the importance of hearing from all sides of an issue— That sounds a little bit like what the plaintiffs are contending in this lawsuit, which is, hey, this could actually be the start of legislation, however informally, I suppose. And if it is, then it's subject to the open meetings law, because it's not subject to the executive session exemption. And so we want to know what was said and what documents were distributed and discussed. So anyway, that lawsuit was filed just yesterday. It's too soon to tell what's going to happen. Predictably, the spokesman for the Arizona House Republicans calls it a politically driven and legally meritless lawsuit brought by, quote, far left activists. And the chief marketing officer for ALEC calls the lawsuit a, quote, PR stunt. So you have a lawsuit that is going to seek to, I think, expand the application of Arizona's open meetings law, which, by the way, applies to almost every public forum. I don't think, at least, and I haven't researched this, but I would be surprised if it was ever interpreted this broadly. But that's what this lawsuit is all about.
I had never heard of this group, ALEC.
So, well,
not that that makes a lot of difference, but
okay. So ALEC also advertises that it's comprised of nearly one quarter of the country's state legislators and stakeholders from across the policy spectrum. So apparently, it's a pretty significant group. And one of the things that your listeners may not realize is that a lot of laws or legislation, they don't start with somebody sitting down, you know, in their office with a blank sheet of paper and writing it from scratch. Rather, what happens typically is these types of groups will look at laws that are already in existence, for instance, in another state,
right,
and say, this law was enacted 5 years ago with this purpose in mind. This is how it's actually played out. If your state enacts a similar law, you might want to consider making these modifications or revisions, because experience shows that the original legislation could be improved upon. So I think that's the kind of discussion that occurs. And the plaintiffs in this lawsuit are saying, well, you know what? Those are the kind of discussions that the public is entitled to know about, because those discussions are the seeds for potential future legislation.
Let's see if we can work one more in. An Arizona, cattle rancher who's also a state lawmaker wants to make certain plant-based foods that they can't be called meat.
Well, I was going to stop at a burger restaurant on the way home. Anyway, there are a couple of big producers. I think one is Beyond Meat and the other one's Impossible Burger, or maybe those are brand names. But anyway, as everyone knows, the retail burger chains are now offering a plant-based alternative to beef hamburgers. And David Cook, who's a Republican from Globe, and also, interestingly, a cattle rancher, wants to make it illegal for anyone to misrepresent any product not derived from a harvested livestock or poultry animal as meat. So his proposed legislation, which, by the way, is House Bill 2044, would define the act as the use of, quote, any untrue, misleading, or deceptive oral or written statement, advertisement, label, display, picture, illustration, or sample. This is a lot like the Arizona Consumer Protection Act, which prohibits generally the misrepresentation of any good or product in connection with the marketing, advertising, or sale, but it's specifically targeted towards basically veggie burgers or plant-based meat alternatives.
Sure.
That are being sold. And that, by the way, the market share for which are increasing
big time.
So David Cook has introduced legislation to make it illegal to call a plant-based product meat unless it comes from an animal. And proposed legislation, I find it interesting, is very similar to legislation that he proposed last year, where he wanted to prohibit the use of the word milk on any product that didn't come from a lactating animal. So under that proposal, which, by the way, did not pass, it was defeated in the House 36-22, that proposal would have prohibited manufacturers of soy milk or almond milk from basically using the word milk in their product description.
Okay.
Now he says the dairy farmers are on their own. We're going after this meat thing, and if you're selling plant-based products, you better not call it meat, because under this House bill, if it passes, that's going to be illegal.
Okay, Don Luce, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Don's books, Arizona Laws 101 and Estate Planning in Arizona, both available in their second printing. Don, thanks. Hope you have a great holiday season.
I hope you get better
thank
soon.
Thank you very much, like right away. That's going to do it for Buckmaster. Have a great day. Thank you to my friend Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing. We'll be right back in 24 hours.